Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Someday we're going to fake our deaths. The value of this podcast is going to exponentially pop off, and it'll be all over for the haters out there, if there are any. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
And that is at least until a impression episode comes and becomes more popular than we ever were and forces us to come back from the dead. I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Spumoni. You can find me on Instagram at StoopKidsPod.
Oh, Emily, I love that, because I was going to cite our super producer who is not here today. He's Jason Spumoni. That's the one that I was going to – but hey, what are the odds? Two Spumonis in the same digital room, the same day, the same recording session.
And no relation, which is even crazier.
That is
with
crazy.
With a name like that.
Yeah, one of you is an imposter for sure. And between you and me, I'm thinking it's Jason.
I think so too. If you want to find out about that other Spumoni, if you want to keep up with him, he's either at Nintendoofus or Nintenspumoni, one of the two. So search either of those handles. I'm sure you'll find him. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. And let me tell you what I do know. Every day I come by your house and I pick you up and we go out, we have a few drinks and a few laughs, and it's great. You know what the best part of my day is? It's for about 10 seconds when I pull up to the curb to when I get to your door, because I think maybe I'll get up there and I'll knock on the door and you won't be there. No goodbye, no see you later, no nothing. You just left. I don't know much, but I know that kids is spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 79 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, that is season 4, episode 19, going by production code order. This episode is called Dino Checks Out. Original air date, December 11th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Dino Spumoni is found missing and then declared dead after what appears to be a suicide attempt. But Arnold finds out that this is not the case, and he secretly lives in the boarding house, believing that his work will skyrocket in value after his quote-unquote death. And a few notes about this episode. Guest star for this one, the one that I guess Wikipedia decided to cite, is Harvey Korman as the voice of Don Reynolds. And another note, this episode, for those who did not watch or rewatch this episode before listening to this podcast episode, the episode of Hey Arnold begins without the normal theme song opening. So don't freak out, I guess, is the moral of that. But you can freak out about the people who made this episode possible if you would like, because we have Frank Weiss in the director's chair for this one and Steve Vixton with the writing credit. And I say let's go ahead and jump in. Emily, we'll start with you. What did you think about Dino Checks Out?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Cody. I think this is a funny episode and a very musical episode. The show writers obviously like the character Dino Spumoni because he keeps coming back. I think he's kind of a crowd pleaser, and he's just really funny. And his songs are, you know, a riot every time. You kind of get some chuckles out of his lyrics, and performances are just, I don't know, fun to watch as this like unlikely cartoon character in a kids show. So I don't think there's much of like a lesson in this one for kids necessarily. And to Harry's point, I'm sure Harry will get into it, it's not really even much of a Hey Arnold episode. it's really focused just around this funny character and what kind of mileage can we get out of him in a special episode? What kind of music references can we make? And I think, I mean, it does make sense, though, in the world of Arnold, insofar as the show is super music forward and focused around, you know, jazz and Jim Lang's score and all of the musical moments the kids sing, and just it revolves so heavily around music for pretty much any of the main characters, Arnold included. obviously is a huge music fanatic himself. So I think in that way, it's an Arnold episode. But otherwise, we don't get much of like a lesson or much that kids necessarily would grab onto other than like, this is a fun cartoon with some funny music. And oh, hey, I kind of recognize this album cover that they're showing on the newscast looks like a Beatles album cover. And oh my gosh, I've heard of Run DMC. So they reference a bunch of stuff. They reference Tiffany, the pop star. Dino has a Trippin' with Dino album, and they kind of show you his career trajectory on that newscast where he's trying out all sorts of things and going through all sorts of different genres and styles and fads and everything to get back on track with the popular crowd. So I think it's just like fun for the music references, and otherwise maybe doesn't need to be a whole special episode. Because there's not a whole lot even that happens in it. But again, I think it's fun. There's some really funny grandpa moments too throughout it. What else? I mean, it's Dino in general, I just think has some really great lines. And seeing all the boarders think that after he's faked his death, that he's a ghost in the boarding house. Like they're just immediately convinced of that is pretty funny. All of the people like insulting Dino at his funeral, Don included, his former, music partner. He's like insulting him one after another. And then he goes, and he was also a sniveling coward. It's just like, they just keep ragging on him in the whole episode. And, yeah, but then he shows up at the end and takes over for his, hot imposter who stole his ex-wife, one of his five ex-wives. Anyway, yeah, it's not much for kids in this episode, I would say, but it's a fun piece of the Arnold canon and very heavily focused on music. And I think the writers probably just had fun making as many references as they could. And I got a good thing going. I'm a ghost. I thought it was pretty funny. So yeah, I want to hear what y'all think about it.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you, Emily. And thank you for calling out the funeral, which essentially did play as the Comedy Central roast of Dino Spumoni. Really, really good stuff. I'm sure we'll talk more about the gags as we go here. But I would like to first hear from Harry. Harry, what'd you think of this episode?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot for setting it up, Emily. I thought you did a really good job. And as you were talking, it sort of like this episode kind of grew on me. Just even listening to you, because I think it marks sort of like the zenith of a particular mentality of Hey Arnold that we've sort of seen develop over the seasons as the writers get more comfortable. And even Craig Bartlett alluded to it in our season 3 interview with him, which is that as they sort of got more creative freedom, you really see the writers like take that freedom and run with it. I think this episode is maybe the best example of the entire series of something like that. I consider Steve Vixton to be the most idiosyncratic writer on the Hey Arnold Room. I can always tell his episodes. In fact, and like I, to be clear, love this about Steve Vixton. I think I'm kind of a big Steve Vixton fan, but he is like markedly more cynical than the rest of the writers on the show in ways that like really, really show up in his writing. Particularly the first act of this episode, but almost all of it is like way more dark and pessimistic than most of what we get out of Hey Arnold. I mean, it's essentially Raging Bull if Raging Bull kept going after the main character died, and then we got to follow what everybody thought of him, which is kind of a wild place to go, especially when you consider that this episode opens with a suicide note, and still there is so little sympathy for Dino. But I think that there's a lot about this episode that makes me think that like it's just really the black sheep of the Hey Arnold series in so many ways, right? Like it's the penultimate episode of season 4 and it's a full length episode, a double episode. I wonder if they just stuck it there because they like had it, you know? Like just there's something about that placement that makes me feel that way. The fact that it's Steve Vixton, the fact that like you had said, Emily, like I think I said this in the comments, it's like this is barely an episode of Hey Arnold, right? It's like we Hey Arnold, like Arnold himself has a role, but like Dino is the main character and Grandpa has more speaking time than any other character other than Dino. Which, by the way, I think Vixton is maybe the sharpest grandpa writer. There's some really, really great grandpa stuff in this. I think that he, like, his approach to humor is very Simpsons-esque, in a way that obviously suits grandpa really well. So yeah, I mean, and I honestly, like, I really like this episode's message overall. It's hilariously a message that is, like, very specifically not for kids, right? It's like, it's a message about, like, aging and legacy and sort of like bitterness about the mistakes that you've made in your life. And like, that's another reason why it just feels like maybe a very personal episode for Vixton. I'm not sure. I know that Vixton was sort of like, he was of a very different mentality than a lot of the other writers, right? Like, I think that Craig Bartlett mentioned that he and Vixton would butt heads every now and then about the direction of the show. I think Vixton wanted Arnold's parents to be dead at the end, if I'm remembering our conversation correctly, which, by the way, hashtag Team Vixton. Much love to Craig Bartlett, but I really like that interpretation of the series. And this is a weirdly personal episode about, like, the fact that Dino Spumoni, as sort of an audience stand-in almost, is grappling with, like, all the ways in which his life has gone wrong and how it maybe hasn't amounted to much. But then, like, over the course of the episode, he realizes basically just that he wouldn't want anybody else to have it, right? It's like, my, like, the things that I'm proud of, I'm still proud enough of that I want to claim them. And in doing so, I have to claim my life, right? And there's something really affirming about that, right? About this idea that it's like, well, you may think you had made mistakes, but if you think about the things in your life that you're proud of, probably you're proud enough of them that the rest of it was worth it, right? Dino Spumoni's personality in this is so great. I love that he's weirdly violent throughout, and that is not really something that is commented on or redeemed. I just love that, like, Vixton seems to be totally comfortable making this guy kind of an amoral, sort of like selfish prima donna. And like, you just gotta love him because he's Dino Spumoni. I guess I love the affection that this episode has for Dino Spumoni, and its willingness to sort of like take him down a peg or four or five based on the funeral. I love all of the scenes that we get in this episode that are like just bizarre. There's an entire scene dedicated to how funny it is that there are five blonde Italian women fighting over the scraps left behind by their ex-husband. And like, there are jokes like, oh, except for Cookie, who gets squat. And then she says, ah, nuts, Gino, take me home or something. And it's like, what is happening? This is a show for 10-year-old children. But like, very clearly, this was just something that like Vixton wanted to do. He got buy-in to do it, and I really appreciate that in its own way. So it's like, we talked about in season four how there are those episodes that just kind of feel like they aged up all the characters by about 5 years. This is like, hey, what if we aged up the characters by like 40 years? It's definitely one of the most idiosyncratic episodes of the entire series, I would say. How do you feel about it, Cody?
Thank you. I feel pretty good about it, especially after hearing the kind of the places that you both are coming from. I think collectively we're operating along a similar wavelength, just kind of throwing out some things that stood out to me. I think the first big capital T thing that jumped out at me while watching, I guess I should say rewatching this episode, because I definitely remember watching it when I was younger, is the fact that for this quote unquote double length or full length episode, instead of doing what I feel like most of these episodes do, where it feels like two halves, whereas this one felt like thirds. Like very clearly the first 8 or so minutes, being, you know, hey, this guy, Dino Spumoni, is dead and we're dealing with the fallout of his death. The middle, 8 minutes being, hey, just kidding, Dino's actually alive. He's grappling with the fact that, you know, his life is in a weird spot right now, and then some like boarding house shenanigans antics. And then the last 8 minutes, the emergence of, you know, new Dino and also new Dino, so to speak. And then the episode ends. And that's, I don't really know. I guess maybe I'm coming up slightly empty on that with regards to kind of us all, like why they felt the need to go full length with this. It might be the fact that to me, the idea of it seems that they did want to not just do something with Dino, but doing something where like people are reconciling the fact that Dino is gone, even if it's just temporarily. And in order to for those like feelings to properly digest, but then allow for an upswing, maybe it's like, well, we can't really squeeze this into 11, 12 minutes. We need to allow for more time for that to again, like hit and then like, hey, we're touching the bottom of the pool and then coming to the surface again. And like, we need more time to do that. And so like that would kind of make sense to me. It does allow for a lot of other space for, you know, other sorts of things to kind of fill in the gaps, these gags, the fact that it is like a grandpa Netflix special. He just keeps on riffing. The fact that Arnold found it funny that Arnold specifically tells grandpa like, hey, this is what us in the real world call a funeral. This is a funeral. And so like, you can't just be like cracking wise. You need to be serious. As if like grandpa doesn't already know that was such a weird, funny thing. But like between that and the 2.5 minute newscast slash, like behind the sort of off brand behind the music spin where it's just, you know, a retrospective on Dino's life. I thought that was a really good lead in for the episode. And you know, ultimately it, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, the Dino is reflecting and maybe the show is reflecting as well on sort of, you know, how far we've come and thinking about what brought us into that space in the first place, the sort of joy that Dino finds in making music. And he's searching for that again. He's, you know, thinking about that through this rough patch, and it's not enough. And then it is, as, you know, Arnold kind of helps him get to the spot where he needs to. And I, you know, think about, I think Emily, you had said this is, a fun piece of canon for the show Hey Arnold. And, you know, thinking back to season one and season two, to an extent as well, you know, this being sort of a landmark big event of an episode where, you know, a recognizable character dies and then, you know, comes back to life, you know, and thinking back to when we were talking about, you know, Lockjaw and, you know, a little pink book, you know, every episode, each week we're coming back and like, wow, this is an episode, right? This is a piece of Hey Arnold canon that is really important. And that's almost how this feels just so many years later. I don't know if that's sort of a stretch to say that, but it also feels like the show saying, you know, let's, you know, think back to how, Matchbox 20s, how far we've come, and, kind of not that they're like, there's any lack for joy, but it does feel like we're kind of going back to our roots, but also recontextualizing our roots. I feel like this may be the point where I need the help of you two to, you know, jump in with your insight as well. But that's sort of what I'm coming around to on an episode that I do really like for kind of for what it is, even if it is, a little, unusual, especially for a penultimate season episode. But yeah, I don't know. Harry, is any of this, hitting the mark for you?
Yeah, in fact, you've really sort of like characterized one of my prevailing theories about this episode, which, like, you know, I don't know this. I'm just speculating at this point. So maybe that's, you know, take that for what you will. But like, it really feels like they were like, okay, we're doing one more Dino Spumoni episode. And Steve Vixton was like, but I have three more Dino Spumoni episodes. And they were like, okay, well, you're going to make them into one episode. And like, I wonder if even if it was like what they really wanted to do was like, let's do a Dino Spumoni Dies episode and like talk about what it's like when a public figure or somebody you love passes away and how strange and surreal and often absurd the funeral mourning process is. And then they were like, well, this is a children's show. So because very specifically, because Cody, you're so right, like the first act of this episode, it really feels like they're going to commit to the bit, right? Like they sit with Dino's death and get enough reactions and get enough of that classic Hey Arnold sort of melancholic wistfulness and Arnold remembering, right? When he walks by the theater and he looks at some of the old Dino memorabilia and whatnot, that I was thinking like, I mean, I knew because I remembered this episode, but I was like, it feels like this is an episode that's like, what we actually want is for you to sit with this possibility, at least for a little while, and for it to feel real. Which makes it even more wild that Vixton takes the tack that he does, right? Which is that like, he does like a, what if the Coen brothers made a movie about somebody's funeral? Right, where it's like there is some heartfeltness there. There is some legitimate grieving and mourning, but like there are also like, if for every one part of legitimate grieving, there are like three parts of sort of like absurd dark humor, where like it's grandpa at the funeral eating shrimp cocktails and he says, "Who's in heaven now?" Which is like such a wildly inappropriate thing to say. It made me laugh so hard. But then, like, right when you think that's what the episode is going to be, it introduces this new thing, right? Where it brings Dino back to the boarding house, which, like, this is not even the first episode that has put Dino back in the boarding house. So, like you were saying, Cody, in terms of recontextualizing, it's like they really are going back to that well a second time, and that makes you think, like, okay, why? right? Like, what do they want us to see about this character? What do they want us to see about the fact that he's like regurgitating these lessons again, right? And sort of like not learning from his mistakes and like the upswings and downswings of Dino and how eternal they are. And I think that makes the fact that this is a character we've sat with for so long and we've seen him undergo these arcs before, I think it makes the final impact of the sort of life-affirming resolution he comes to at the end of the episode more impactful, right? Especially if, as I suspect, and I could be wrong, I haven't looked at season five yet, so you know, come at me if I'm wrong, but like, I think this is probably the last Dino episode, right? Like, I don't remember there being a season five Dino episode. It feels like the last Dino episode. And so I wonder if that was what they wanted, right? It was sort of like a swan song for Dino in more ways than one, where we can sort of like reflect upon what we were saying with this character and what we wanted him to be one last time, and in a way that feels like a real like send off to a character that we all admire so much. And I think it's pretty successful in that regard, even if it has created a singularly strange episode of Hey Arnold.
Cody, you just found something from looking this up. Do you want to mention that?
Oh, yeah, sure. So popping in really quick to confirm, this is indeed his last, Dino Spumoni's last appearance on the show, quote unquote, proper. He does make an appearance in the Jungle Movie. If memory serves, more or less just as a sort of cameo.
A cameo, but, yeah.
Yeah, like a spoken line or two. But
well, even that doesn't necessarily mean that they intended it, right? Because like, I'm not sure that right. They knew that they were going to be canceled after season five, or if they had more plans or what. But I just, from what the show ended up being, it ended up being a really appropriate send-off, I felt, for Dino Spumoni.
Dino's last hurrah. Yeah, I agree. I'm just trying to string together a thread of like, if there is a kid's lesson in here at all, because I said at the top that there isn't. I think that Grandpa, who's so strong in this episode, and Dino are really good foils of each other in this one, which is why Grandpa has so much airtime and so many funny lines. But he says to Arnold, like, you know, lives are messy and old things are fun, you know, take me for example, and whatever, when they're outside walking around. But I think, so I am just trying to grab this thread together of what might be a lesson for kids. Just that, one thing the episode is saying, obviously, which maybe kids wouldn't have much, interest in or think about much, but just that there is this thing in our world where artists get more recognition after they pass, and that's a really weird thing, and it's a really weird capitalist thing, and it's just this strange money-making machine beast of a thing that's f***ed up. But, you know, don't count me out, as Dino says at the end, and he realizes he still has some more life left to live and such, and which is also strange for a kids episode, I guess. But what I am trying to say, I am losing it a little bit. I just think that Grandpa is such a strong character. He's one of our favorites, obviously. He is such a great example of this older guy who has so much zest for life and so much love for the people around him and for the activities in his life and whatever he's got going on. He has such this passion and enthusiasm no matter his age. And to see that contrasted with Dino Spumoni, who has been very successful musician, has done all sorts of things with all sorts of celebrities and, you know, recognizable artists, Run DMC, Tiffany, etc. He lost that zest for life along the way, and partially probably through this evil capitalist music making machine. But I'm having a hard time throwing these thoughts together, I guess, on the spot now. But basically, I think that's a great foil of each other in this episode, and maybe just to show kids that, hey, even if you have everything, you know, that doesn't mean that it'll bring you happiness, but you can find your own passions and enthusiasm in your own ways, just like Grandpa does. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. You said, I guess I have two responses I want to have to that, because I think that's a really, you know, sort of great transitional point for us. The Grant Padino foils, especially is not like that makes so much sense, you know, in retrospect. Like it should have made sense when we were watching. It just didn't, you know, it didn't come across that way. And it's also not something that I feel like the show does, a lot, other than explicitly where it's like, oh, Grandpa and Mitzi are like butting heads. And it is sort of like, you know, like a two person show. Even if they're not 100% foils for one another, cause they're going through like similar issues and, or like the same issue and handling them similarly. Whereas, yeah, Grandpa in this episode has a very, pronounced, visible, zest for life that Dino is just lacking, and showing them alongside each other, I think, even if not explicitly, sort of in the background, carries this episode through a really fascinating trajectory. And, you know, in the sense of kind of, Harry, what you were saying, where it's this episode is sort of one part grief and three part dark humor, bringing in the sort of the Vixen great, you know, great Vixen cynicism, him even going so far, I guess while watching, I felt sort of myself pull a muscle when Vixen was doing, like, undergoing his own stretch to pull in like Rhonda for this, for that brief scene she had. Whereas in the moment, it feels kind of weird to her consoling Arnold, but then not really consoling Arnold. And it is just another sort of one of those darkly comedic backhanded sort of, well, you know, he's dead, but he wasn't even that great of a singer anyway. The cushioning of grief with the, you know, with the humorous side of things, because they are two sides of the same coin. And I think all that blends together really well with the, I can't really decide at the moment if it's the overcurrent or the undercurrent, but having Dino and Grandpa on, you know, filling out the ends of the spectrum that we're watching. And then the other side of it, Emily, or I guess the other point with, this episode's lesson. I think that's, it's a really good question, and you went to a really good place with it. And, my spinoff of kind of what you said is, maybe similarly, going back to the show's roots and recontextualizing those roots, but adults have problems. Adults are far from perfect. I think in season one or two, the well that I would maybe feel myself going back to a lot more often is adults are stupid. Adults are dumber than children. It's a little more nuanced this time around. At least for this particular episode where it's, hey, adults call a midlife crisis. And it sucks, and it can feel like they're dying or already dead, even if that's not literally the case. And the types of feelings I come away from this episode feel very similar to, again, going back to the show's roots, the first Mickey Kaline episode, where, and it also ties into kind of that capitalistic, you know, conversation that you were talking about, Emily, where Mickey Kaline, for a performer, for an athlete, for a celebrity, for somebody who's putting something out into the world, it's an element of performance when they can't perform anymore. If they need to retire, it is, even though it's not an episode about Mickey Kaline dying, for someone who has that job in life, it is effectively death, or at the very least, it is a very, from the Landmark episode sense of it, it is an end of something. An end of something very significant. And so you come away with it feeling, and granted that on top of that, us coming across that episode, shortly after the passing of Henry Aaron, who is one of the greatest performers of his craft, of anybody who has ever performed their craft. There's a lot that can feed into that. And so I don't know. I wanted to toss that out, even just as a sort of, you know, these two episodes are very different. The Mickey Kaline episode and this episode that we're talking about here, but you know, very similar in that, at least I come away with it feeling, with similar feelings, even if the similar feelings I felt from this episode are really from the first like 8 minutes of it, because of the different sort of narrative and emotional gymnastics we're doing. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm also similar to what you said, Harry. This episode is growing on me even more, as we talk about it, which is classically a great sign.
Yeah. I really love what Emily brought up about, the fact that musicians, and often become so much more famous after they're gone. I mean, that is a huge consideration in this episode, right? Like, I think that literally, like, Vixton has Dino Spumoni, like, quote or cite Van Gogh and, like, go over the entire story of Vincent Van Gogh, maybe the most famous example of this. But, and we get to see in the first act this, like, barely framed up recitation of Dino Spumoni's whole career. And I think that therein lies the sort of foil between Grandpa and Dino Spumoni. And one of you brought up the line that lives are messy, old things are fun. That's what Dino's whole thing is here, right? Like, Dino wants to be the brand Dino Spumoni. He doesn't want to be the living person Dino Spumoni, because that person can't live up to the brand, right? And it's like, he knows that everybody loves the brand and not everybody loved Dino Spumoni. And so he's sort of like, he's looking for a way that he can, like, be only the brand. Whereas Grandpa's just a living person, right? He's a dynamic person. That's, I would say that how dynamic Grandpa is his defining personality trait, right? Like, all of the Grandpa episodes center around the fact that Grandpa might be as old as he is, but he's still learning something new every day, right? Like, new aspects of his personality are coming to the fore. He has these great relationships with his grandson that are still developing, that are still evolving and changing. So that dynamic nature of Grandpa contrasted with the fact that Dino Spumoni is looking for a way for everything to remain the same forever is really important. And I think that therein lies a sort of another message of this episode, right? Which is that, like, Dino in the end embraces the idea of change in this episode, right? Like, I think it's very important that he ends up singing a new song, right? Don't Count Me Out. And that song is all about this sort of, like, hope for the future, that he'll be able to continue to make new things and continue to develop and evolve as a person, rather than being the living dead brand that is or was Dino Spumoni. He'll be able to go back to his roots, like he said, which is in his own sort of, like, backward, like, hyper-capitalist, self-serving way, what he was trying to do in the first place, right? And it's not even the first time he's tried to do this. He is always, Dino Spumoni is, in his own way, trying to find his way back to the purity of his music, right? That's why he keeps going back to the boarding house. That's why he keeps trying to reconnect with his former partner. It's like, he doesn't even really remember or understand what it was to be a pure artistic artist, but he wants to be again. And I think at the end of this episode, we sort of find him do that in his own way, right? We find him sort of break through to the other side. And it's by embracing this idea that, like, with life comes the possibility for new chapters, right? And he takes that over the idea that he can be done with his story and sort of embraces the uncertainty of that. So it's sort of, I mean, there's a lot going on here under the surface, right? I think that, like, it's a really sort of trenchant character study of a character who is sort of afraid of a lot of things and who has made a lot of mistakes and is sort of, like, near the end of his life trying to figure out what it all means and putting together something that makes sense. And at the end of this episode, it seems like he finds out that it means that it's not over yet, right? That, like, he, don't count me out, right? It's like he might have taken a lot of lumps and he might feel like giving up sometimes, but he's going to keep going. And just to keep going is a great triumph in and of itself. And to Emily's point, it's like a strange message for kids, because kids are at the beginning of their lives generally, but maybe something that resonates, and maybe something that sort of builds empathy, right? The way that some of the great grandpa episodes build empathy for older folks. And to Cody's point, sort of like also just this idea that, like, hey, these are struggles that you're going to revisit over and over again. And you're going to be an adult and you're not going to know any more than you do now. And these struggles are going to be just as painful and just as strange, but you're going to get through them, right? So there's something very Hey Arnold about that as well.
Yeah, and if there's one way you can get your mojo back, it's got to be by playing the piano on the roof of the boarding house, which called back to a very first season one episode with Grandma and Arnold on the roof, where everything goes wrong. The List, is that what that one was? And speaking of callbacks, I just wanted to mention this because I just thought of it too. We watched last season at Grandpa's birthday with Drew Tenenbaum, and this, I guess, is calling back to that one a lot. I just hadn't thought about it until now. But where Grandpa thinks he has a family curse and he's going to die at a specific age, And everyone has to say, Grandpa, no, you are so full of life. You're so strong, strong as an ox. Phil, you've never been, you know, more alive. And he has to let everyone tell him, you know, you don't count yourself out. And we kind of circle back to that here, but as a Dino send off. So I think that's all I got. I've got quite a few shout outs though, but I'll pass the mic back to you, Cody.
Sure. No, I appreciate it. And hey, as it's been said here in this discussion, as the episode sort of purports, there is something to just, you know, keep on going. There's something to that. There's beauty in that. And we're going to keep on going. Even as this discussion starts to wind down, there's no end for us in sight other than the upcoming season 4 break, which, hey, we'll get there when we get there. But for the time being, as Emily, you alluded to, Emily and Harry, any shout outs that either of you have for this episode? I defer to y'all. The floor is yours.
Just so many good Dino lines that make me laugh pretty hard. So I'll go through them quick. When Dino's on the newscast or they're recalling his life story and his run-ins with the police, he's saying, yeah, he gets out of prison and he's on camera. It's just a flashback, whatever. And he's like, worst joint I've ever stayed in outside of Pittsburgh. And just, hey, he's such a wisecracker. Also, him saying to Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson, or President Johnson calling Dino, you big Italian nut job. Pretty funny stuff. Shout out in general to the newscaster. I liked that one-off character a lot. I think her character design and voice acting was awesome and really spot on for what they were doing here. At the start of the episode, shout out to Dino's portrait that they show on that newscast, because it's a different texture than everything else, and it makes me think of SpongeBob style of switching between different painting textures and everything like that. Shout out to Dino talking about faking his own death and taking swimming lessons in secret and going to Arnold. That was the key, baby, the key. And then shout out also to Grandpa saying to Arnold, you know, for a 9-year-old, you sure like to take the weight of the world on your shoulders. Just really calling out our boy as he does better than anyone else.
Great shout outs. I was also going to shout out Lyndon B. Johnson. I laughed so hard at that moment. Also, just like all of the sort of like Bob Dylan goes electric sort of shout outs. Like they show, Dino all of his different attempts to be relevant with Run DMC or with like the 60s. They show him on the cover of like Sgt. Pepper's and all of that stuff. Really great. Again, like, what are you doing, Vixen? Like, no child is going to understand that reference. It just doesn't matter. That was just something he wanted to do. And I love him for that. I would be remiss not to mention the fact that like, when Dino is crouched down in the garbage can outside of the boarding house and he's psting at Arnold, and Arnold goes, Dino, is that you? He goes, in the flesh, baby. And I think my family says that to each other all the time now, just again from this episode. Like, it's such a funny like line for him to have. Full of really great Dino one-offs. Again, I think you mentioned this, Cody, but Grandpa in this episode in particular has like the energy of like a like literal stand-up comedian, like just going through life. And like at one point he like says something to Arnold and then he laughs and goes like, these are the jokes, Arnold. Like, come on. And I just love that, especially as Emily noted, like as like a foil to poor forlorn Dino. I love this energy that Grandpa brings to this episode. That's just like life is a gag sort of thing. So huge shout out to him, of course. Shout outs to Coach Wittenberg being at the funeral for Dino, blink and you'll miss it cameo. Shout outs to Phoebe's parents at the concert at the end, another blink and you'll miss it that, that Emily mentioned. I love, that they brought back Dino's, writing partner, but only just sort of like to make jokes with, like he wasn't a part of the episode. He just like had an arc of his own that unfolded like in the far background. I thought that that was a really great way to do that character. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, I just really love like the energy of this episode, I guess. I think that like, especially for an episode that really doesn't have much right to be a two-parter in a series that doesn't really sit with two-parters super comfortably, if only because they don't really do them that often. And when they do them, they're typically like quote unquote very special episodes like the Arnold Christmas or a much less successful example, the Veterans Day episode. This is just sort of like a one-off for one-off's sake. And it's remarkable to me that like they break format and it just works out that well. I think it's just a testament to like how confident these writers were and how much fun they were having writing Hey Arnold, that they were just clearly doing whatever they wanted and they get away with it to this extent because of how much they love the characters and the series. So definitely a big recommend from me. I don't know if we're in the habit of recommending episodes necessarily, but hey, it's a good one, baby.
It is a good one, comma, baby. Yeah, the recommending is tough because I feel like we would recommend just the whole series, yeah, every episode. Like, all the,
yeah, maybe like six or seven episodes I would recommend skipping, but for the rest of them, I'd be like, yeah, just watch them all, you know?
Well, stealing my thing back from you, every episode is a data point, and therefore they're all worth watching at least once, I would say. But you know, all that being said, dear listener, we've held your ear, figuratively, not literally, for a little while now. And thank you for that. And thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis. And you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack. And you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey. And I'd also like to add my 2 cents of recommending the show Hey Arnold. It's a pretty good one.
Yes, definitely. Shoutouts to Hey Arnold. We may not be Hey Arnold, but we are an incredible simulation.
Stimulation.
And happy birthday, Aunt Becky. I knew I forgot something. Shout outs to Aunt Becky. We're recording this on your birthday.
Happy birthday, Becky.
Ow. Sorry, I said stimulation right before you said that.
Well, and you said it again, and it's going to be tough to cut out. So end or post credits, baby.